And he'll wax old. Back in New York after his... how long have you been out in L.A. now?
I moved out to L.A. March 12th, 2005. Because March 11th, I did the Huntington Arts Council Laugh-Off.
That's true.
That, where I played to like 600 people, my biggest crowd before I left. And it's been out there a year. It's been great. Can't complain.
And tell us a little about, you know, your transition to L.A. I mean, you've pretty much grown up on Long Island, so I mean...
The biggest, I mean, I think, you know, everyone's there in Los Angeles. You know, it's good to be around a lot of people that are driven, you know, they're following their dreams and they're doing what it takes. So that there's good reinforcement. There are a lot of good networks of people you can get involved with. I can't complain. I'm living with a great lady and we're getting married and that's like, you know, already a partner in crime. So I'm kind of like one up on the competition as is. But I mean, I was used to driving around on Long Island, so I'm just driving around in Los Angeles now. And the only thing that is hurting me in Los Angeles is there's not no one to talk to about sports. I can't like. And sports, the sport of Los Angeles is acting. Like, you can't, like, if I make, like, a Yankee reference.
And it's a contact sport out there.
It's a contact sport, you know. Yeah, the stuff we don't hear about.
And now, obviously, you do music and you do comedy. What came first in your life? Was it the comedy or the music?
I think the comedy came first. I did a presentation in an NYU sports marketing class where I presented in such a comical, nonsensical manner with hand puppets and whatnot. And the professor's like, yeah, you did well in the presentation, but more importantly, you should get on stage. So there are a number of every comedy club has a class where you can get started. I took the Comic Strip Live class twice in Manhattan, mm-hmm. Did stand-up my entire first year. Then all of a sudden, I was just sitting around at home. Maybe I was watching Jerry Springer a little too much, not working enough, and I was thinking, what would I do with my life? And I wrote my first song about being a male stripper, and people seemed to like it. So I wrote another one about having a baby. People seemed to almost like it, and I just kept going from there. And it's just been one after another, and that's kind of been my gimmick.
Did you first pick up the guitar?
I took a class in college where you had to take up a new hobby and track your development for 8 weeks. I wanted to always cover Bon Jovi songs. I'm still trying to learn the Wanted Dead or Alive riff today, the intro, and I can do it pretty well. But I took 8 weeks of lessons, printed out all the tabs I wanted to play, and then it's pretty much find a progression I like, write a song that fits it, and plug in the jokes.
What was your first live gig doing the music and comedy together?
Music and comedy. I think everything started at Moonchaba Lounge back in Levittown. My first stand-up show was when I wrote a set list, but I had no material to back it. Like it was like the Family Guy episode where like Peter gets the guys and they form a band and then they get booked at a prison. And then they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, crap, we don't have any songs. Oh, my God. And then the first song, I did the male stripper song at Moonchaba one Thursday night, and people were blown away. You know, I could have like cheated on my girlfriend at the time that night. I mean, people just loved it, but it was very enjoyable. Had it on tape, and you know, it speaks to me. Yeah.
And the rest, as they say, is history, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Now you've recorded some stuff in the past, and you brought some new stuff tonight. The Brokeback Mountain song.
Uh huh. Why not? I cashed in on my trauma.
Well, which I guess you know is inspired by the movie a bit, right?
Of course. I was sitting there. Once we saw the trailer when we were seeing another movie, she was like, we're going to see this. And I'm like, and I knew I owed her one for making her see The Fantastic Four.
Oh, you owe her big time for that.
I owe her big. You know how good a movie's going to be by how much dialogue is in the trailer. Fantastic Four had no dialogue in the trailer. You just had a guy going, flame on, and then lighting on fire. That was the entire
thing.
And
that was probably the best scene in the whole movie.
That was the best scene in the whole movie. Him and maybe like going skiing and then melting the snow and whatever it was. But Brokeback is a great movie. I mean, it was well done, very, very emotional, very compelling. You know, I would have rather seen, you know, like Wedding Crashers again than, you know, see Brokeback.
And when it comes to inspiration for your songs? I mean, do you like plan out, like, today I'm going to write a song about, you know, Brokeback Mountain, or just these things just strike you and then it starts from there?
Yeah, Brokeback came together within a week. I recorded that song within an hour, came up with a clean version within like 5 minutes of the dirty version. And but, you know, sometimes I'll have it where like the song kind of gets online and like I'll handle that one. But, you know, sometimes songs will kind of cut the line and I'm like, okay, this has a better joke I'll throw in. And you know, it just, you know, you want to just go with what your mind is calculating at the time.
Once again, we're speaking with Evan Wechsel on Web Radio WCWP, and we're talking about a little about his career, combining music and comedy with a stand-up routine.
Why not?
And now, had you ever, like, seen other musicians like, what's his name, Jim Brewer or Lynch and stuff like that? Did they inspire you, or how did...
Lynch... Well, Brewer I've seen a few times. I thought he was great. He came to my college a few times, and I saw him in Boston. Lynch, when I saw him first play If I Were Gay on like a comic remix on Comedy Central, it wasn't so much I want to do what he's doing. I'm like, he can now let me know that it's okay to do what I'm doing and that it's all right. I mean,
it's okay to cross the line.
It's okay to cross the line and be incorrect. And, I mean, I end every show with, like, a Lynch song. So, I mean, I still play tribute to him. I get Adam Sandler comparisons, which, you know, now I'm doing a Suffolk County Community College on Monday in a cafeteria at 11 a.m. I'm like, you know what? I'm learning Lunch Lady Land for this one. And it's been going great so far. So it's great to get compared and have those influences out there.
And what was it like to actually record the material in a studio and stuff, and like as opposed to doing, because there's such a different energy when you perform live.
Yeah, the first bunch of songs I did at a friend's house, Tara Kijic from the Stuffettes, she invited me in. And, you know, I'm just like doing all these takes, and my mind wasn't like tuned to like, you know, how to record something. But with Brokeback, I mean, I just went in, I'm like, okay, let's just do it this way. Cause there's always gonna be something that there's always gonna be like one note or one half beat or one note, you know, that you wanna do, make you do it again. But, I just treat it now like going in live, because I have enough like internal energy where I can pretend I'm doing, you know, in my mirror I can pretend I'm playing, you know, the Huntington Arts Council or governors or whatnot. Yeah.
So what was your first show in L.A. like?
What was my first show in L.A.?
And how did you book it? Like, you know, here you're a guy from Long Island, and you show up in L.A. and you're like, you know, did you have a comedy club in mind that you wanted to hit first, or how did it start in L.A.?
Jeez, I think the first show I did in L.A. was when I went to one of these comedy store open mics on the Sunset Boulevard. I wasn't even on the show. I was just in the crowd watching, and it wasn't even – you weren't really laughing at the jokes. You were laughing at the personalities of these people coming on stage. So I went up to, like, the guy running the show. I'm like, you know what? Can I just get on the stage for 3 minutes? And he let me do 3 minutes of stand-up at this mic, and – you know, it was good to be in that club, and I love doing the Hollywood Improv. I think that's the greatest club in the country. Laugh Factory, I still have to become acquainted with, but there's some good rooms in the OC. You know, there's so much contacts like on the internet. Like if you're looking for open mics, you go to ChuckleMonkey.com. If you're looking for road gigs, you go to RoadComics.com. So there's so many resources out there for comedians and any types of performers to find something. So I like contacted some people, they booked me, I did shows, and they brought me back, did my stuff, and then just started writing the stuff that I would develop in Los Angeles.
So this means that we'll be seeing a sitcom on you pretty soon, or what?
Oh, I don't know. I'm more the fiance than me. you might see us on CBS this summer or fall. We taped a pilot where I played a prank on her. I was taking her to a financial planner, which was really going to be to get her to sign a prenup. And she got ticked, like really ticked. And she left, she came back teary, took off the ring, was like, this is crap, I can't believe it. Turned out the joke was on me the entire time. Like, they totally hosed me. And they played me for a sucker from the start, which was great for her. But she was calling her friends on the way home, like, hey, guess what I just did to Evan? Guess what I just did to Evan? Meanwhile, you know, I'm just thinking, do I steer this wheel off the road? Does this car go over off the canyon?
That embankment looks good.
Let's make the hills famous. Yeah.
You want to do a live one?
Sure.
Let's show the kids.